The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
B-Pod Studios.
Celtics now 4 of 26 from 3. Payton goes the distance. Kick to the corner. Waiting is Bullock. Has all day. Stepping to his left. Misses the 3. R.J. Barrett on the weak side. Offensive rebound. Put back. There is not a facet of the game that James Naismith invented that the Celtics are not getting beaten on today.
Big time stuff. The Celtics got destroyed yesterday, but no one cared because it was the divisional rounds of the NFL playoffs. Good day to get destroyed if you're going to get destroyed.
And Kemba came back, so, you know, it wasn't like all awful. It was just 98% awful. And
you crapped away a day game on a divisional round Sunday. Yeah, it's all right.
And you thought you were going to get that on Friday, the first day they were all back after the time off from the COVID deal. So, you know, they just delayed. They delayed the inevitable, and that was yesterday's awful, awful, awful. It's one of the worst games I've ever seen.
No, if you're going to crap a game,
I can't think of a worse game that I've seen them play. They only scored 75 points, which is something like the lowest of the Brad Stevens era. So, yeah, it was garbage.
Well, you probably had 5 people watching the game. And, I mean, if you're gonna blow one, that's the one to blow. That's a game that, you know, you just go, oh, the Celtics are on. Okay, that's nice. Mm-hmm. You know, you turn on the radio and you go, oh, the Celtics game's on. Mm-hmm. Okay. And maybe you hear it for 15 minutes, and then you go about your business, and you live another day. Sam Quinn knows all about the NBA. He writes about them, organization for CBSSports.com. He joins us in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline on this holiday. Sam Quinn, hello, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing well. I wish I could say the same about the Celtics offense.
Yes, it was very, very poor, very, very poor, poorly played game. And here we are. You are a man who is a trade wizard. You are a man who uncovers all these rumors. And first of all, what is your thought on the Harden deal? I got to ask you about that because it's such a blockbuster. What was your feeling on that thing? Who came out on top?
You know, I mean, I hate to say this because these are the teams that weren't involved on the Harden side. I loved it for Cleveland. I thought getting Jared Allen for what's essentially going to amount to probably the 28th pick. That's a great deal for Cleveland. I loved it for Indiana before we heard about this Caris LeVert health situation. Obviously, right now, that's sort of iffy. We're waiting to hear more. As far as Houston and Brooklyn goes, I thought Houston took the wrong package. I'll just say that straight up. I'd rather have the guaranteed all-star in Ben Simmons than the mystery box of all those first-round picks.
That's what I thought.
As for the Nets, I mean, they have 3 of the top, I don't know, 20 players in the NBA, depending on where you have Kyrie. Don't get me wrong. That's a really nice starting point. They don't have enough interior defense. They don't have enough depth. They have to hit their threes to win. And as Boston saw yesterday, if you're not making your threes, not much else matters. So I'm a bit skeptical. I think they're probably the East favorites, but I wouldn't pick them over the Lakers. And I think Milwaukee has a really big matchup advantage over them.
Okay, can I just say something real quick before we move on from Brooklyn? And that is, I thought I was going crazy this weekend because on Friday we were talking about James Harden and how he looked like super duper fat. And I said, you know, I saw him play and he didn't look fat to me. And then everyone sent me these pictures of him warming up. I'm like, oh yeah, the dude looks really fat. And then I see him playing for the Nets this weekend. The dude's not fat. So I don't know if he was wearing a fat suit or something or like 18 different warm-up jackets underneath his jersey. I'm not sure what was going on, but at least I know my eyes did not deceive me that when I saw him actually playing before people sent me all these videos, that James Harden is indeed not bloated, at least to the extent that we all thought he was.
Guys, it's a total mystery to me. I have absolutely no idea. Maybe it's an angle thing. Maybe it's Photoshop. I have no clue, but I saw the same pictures that you guys did. He looks fat to me, and then he shows up in Brooklyn, and he looks fine. I mean, his conditioning clearly isn't 100% right now, but, you know, there's not a better time to go to New York from his perspective than during a pandemic because he can't go out to the clubs right now. So,
yes.
You know, I would imagine he'll be back at 100% conditioning before the playoffs, but I can't explain the pictures to you guys. I am not a graphic artist. I don't know how to Photoshop. I don't know what that was.
How so he's just obsessed with strippers. I mean, because you figure that if I'm, you know, rich and in my 20s, I mean, Jesus, when I was in my 20s, I hung out at strip clubs all the time in Atlanta. But, I mean, to be known, though, as the strip club guy in the NBA, I mean, that takes almost an obsessive type of...
Yeah, you got to fight for that title.
Yeah, I mean,
there are a lot of guys.
That is a big deal. I mean, that...
Well, they get John Wall, too, and I would have assumed they would have hit it off, you know, really well, because if John Wall isn't, you know, number one, he's in the top five with Hart.
Oh, strip club guys? Okay.
Oh, yeah. That.
Maybe there was
Did you hear? We'll play the clip in a little bit, but Perkins came out this weekend and started to say, and I'd heard this before. I knew that obviously things were rough between Westbrook and Harden back in Houston, but he came straight out and said the reason that Westbrook wanted to leave was that he was sick of James Harden's partying. And he went into detail about how if it was a session, you know, kind of like the Celtics have now, where they play on a Sunday and they don't play again till Wednesday, he would take a plane to Cabo and be gone the entire time, like a private plane, and end up coming back, you know, banged up all weekend. And that would piss off Westbrook because that's not the kind of, you know, background he came from. Like, I mean, he was game first and he hated Harden, but I guess most of the time it was frequenting the, you know, strip clubs while he was out there. So, I mean, when you say obsession, dude, it goes next level with James Harden.
Well, I mean, we hear stories all the time of like, oh, a team is in New York and they don't have a game for two more days and the star player will hold up the team plane and say, hey, let's stay for a night. The Cabo stuff and, you know, taking the team jet and taking Tomas Fertitta's private jet to go out somewhere separately to party. I mean, you're right. That's an obsession. That's a bit too far. I can't speak too specifically to how Westbrook felt about that other than to say that Westbrook has just always been one of these guys. His playing style might be a bit misguided. You know, he might do some things on the court you disagree with. That dude just wants to win. And, you know, if he didn't think he could do it with Harden, I understand why he would get frustrated. So, yeah, I mean, you're taking a risk with Harden. That dude has priorities other than basketball.
Yeah. All right. So when we talked to Danny Ainge, you know, they did explore the Celtics, the Harden situation. He said as much. And here they are. They have this trade exception. And, now names are starting to come out about who might be a fit, and they sort of, I mean, they have to use it this year. What do you think are realistic targets that the Celtics could get this season?
So I think the goal for them, I mean, hey, we saw this with Miles Turner. It's not going to be a big man. If it was, they would have taken Miles Turner for Gordon Hayward. So it's probably going to be a wing. I think they're either looking for a versatile defender or a three-point shooter. So a couple of guys I've had in mind since they got this, Aaron Gordon, who everybody's been after for several years, but Orlando's just never proven willing to trade him. They're starting to head downward. So if things continue to go badly for them and they fall out of the playoff race, I wouldn't be surprised if this was the moment that they finally traded him. And the idea of trading him somewhere without taking on any extra salary, that's got to appeal to them. You know, they're a pretty small market team. Buddy Hield, someone that I've had in mind. I mean, we've seen this with Boston over the last several years. One of the few weaknesses they've had offensively is they haven't really had that one knockdown three-point shooter. They tried to get that with Aaron Nesmith. It's obviously five games in. The jury's still out, but the early returns haven't been great. That's somebody that I'd keep in mind. And then the other thing is I wouldn't put it past Danny Ainge, if he doesn't like what's out there, to just use that salary slot to bring in a pretty big contract that they don't necessarily plan to keep. Just to, you know, keep the window open, right? I mean, the trade exception expires in the offseason. You know, you don't, if you don't use it, you lose it. So if you don't see somebody you like, just bring in a big salary, kick the can down the road and wait until the opportunity presents itself. But right now...
Wait, what do you mean? What does that mean?
Who are you thinking? So, yeah.
No, I just don't even understand the concept. What does that mean?
So the trade exception expires in the offseason, right? If you don't use it, you lose it at that point. So let's say we get to the offseason, we get to a couple days before the deadline, and they realize there's nobody out here we like. Okay, well then at that point, you just look for anybody with a big bloated salary that you can absorb, because if you've done that, you've done away with the deadline. You just have the big salary on your books. And then you could trade that salary later on your own schedule.
Oh, okay. All right. I got it.
It's sort of a way to circumvent the deadline. I mean, there are all sorts of little quirks with this. Mike Zarin and Danny Ainge, I mean, they're as good with the cap as it gets, so... If they don't like what's out there, they'll find some way to get some use out of that exception.
Well, that's boring.
All right. Well, I mean, yeah.
Bring Buddy Hield. Takes away all the suspense.
Yeah, bring in Buddy Hield. I remember him in college. Let's go. Let's get Buddy Hield in here.
Yeah, I can shoot threes,
yeah. Little guy, shoot some threes. Let's go. I like Buddy
Hield. Well, in Sacramento right now, Tyrese Halliburton's better than Buddy Hield, right? Tyrese Halliburton is going to be the long-term partner in the backcourt for De'Aaron Fox. So I don't know how interested Sacramento is in paying three guards a lot of money. They have a lot of time with Halliburton. They could take their time and, you know, just say, screw it, we'll keep the three guards. But he's somebody that I'd look at as semi-available, especially if Sacramento keeps struggling on defense. So that's just an option I'd keep in mind. The whole Orlando situation, they've kept all of those veterans together for so long and they've accomplished absolutely nothing together. So one of those guys, maybe it's Terrence Ross, maybe it's Evan Fournier, but I would think younger wing, somebody that they would suspect can win on the Tatum-Brown timeline.
All right. Makes sense to me. I mean, a guy that I really like, and I never thought this possible, but Toronto has started so poorly. And Kyle Lowry's 34 and has a number that's pretty close to the Celtics trade exception. Do you think that's a possibility?
You know, I would lean against it for a few reasons. Number one, I mean, I disagree with this line of thought, but generally speaking, teams hate trading in their division. I wouldn't rule it out, and Masai Ujiri is ruthless enough that he might. But I would say that's probably unlikely. And then the other reason is, Boston already has one older point guard that, you know, they have a little bit of a decline worry with Kemba. I don't think that they'd want to take on another one, but, man, if they did get Kyle Lowry, like, they'd be really good right now. If the goal is to win the championship this season, I'd think about that, yeah.
Well, what about, okay, because, you know, if things continue this way, and I don't know if they will, but the Pelicans kind of suck right now. I've always loved Redick. I mean, if they want a three-point shooter.
And plays no defense. Older, zero but defense.
But we were just talking about it. They want a pure three-point shooter, and Redick is that guy. And I just think that because the Pelicans, I think they're in 12th or 13th, but they're near the bottom of the barrel right now. That, what do you think about that possible move?
Well, I think you could do that without going into the trade exception, right? Like Tristan Thompson's salary fits in that deal, for example. I think Redick's totally available if they get to that point where right now they're 5-7. If Zion has to miss 15 games and they fall out of the race, New Orleans is thinking about the future, right? I mean, they're happy to try to win right now, and they've even invested a little bit in it, right? They have Bledsoe, they have Steven Adams. It's not a totally young team, but they're not naive. They know if they're out of the playoff race, Redick is expiring and would probably leave after the season. So I do think he's available, sure.
I'd love that move. Yeah. That's the one thing this team, especially after watching the way that they just got nailed by all those goofs over on Miami, Tyler Harrow and Duncan Robinson just hitting threes, you know, at a ridiculous pace. They need a guy like that, and Redick is that dude. That's a move that I would love to see them.
A white guy that doesn't play defense.
I was just going to say, you can't have him on the floor at the end of a close playoff game. That's the problem.
No, you didn't. Well,
is there any hope now that Peyton Pritchard is that guy? I think he's a little.
No, I think that's
a little. It's a little far off.
I think so. Yeah, just a little.
Listen, there's nothing he can't do. Shut up, John.
I'm sorry.
Except dunk.
I don't care. Except dunk.
Fundamentally
Except
sound.
Get on the rides at Six Flags.
Eighth guy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, Sam Quinn.
We measured about him.
That's right. Sam Quinn, CBSSports.com. Thank you so much for the time, sir. We always appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
All right, there you go. The great appreciate Sam it, Quinn. Man. All right.
We'll yeah, be well, talk about a shock. Harden's not fat. Like, he's not fat at all. And I knew I'd seen him play, and I was like, yeah, I saw him play. He wasn't fat. And then everyone sent me videos. I'm like, oh, yeah, dude's fat. What? I don't know what he was doing or whether or not he was pranking all of us or something, but I mean.
So he wore a fat suit while he was in Houston?
he pulled a reverse clump, you know? It's a Sherman clump.
I see.
Yeah, he was trying to get traded, and then as soon as his wish was granted, he got rid of the fat suit. All right, so we'll be right back.
95 Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
A lot of people really don't know this, but this is why Russ wanted to bounce. The Rockets didn't want to trade Russ. He requested a trade because of all the things that was transpiring last year. Say they would play on a Saturday and they wouldn't play again. You know, you had those couple of layoffs where you won't play again to Thursday. James is on the private hitting the combo on Tim and Fatina private at that. And Russ like, hold on, man, I ain't come in for all this. We used to come, you know, like Russ come from Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City is a notch under the Miami Heat, if not on the same level as far as culture, getting your work in, no shortcuts. So Russ is sitting up here saying, hold on, James, what you doing? Like, I ain't with all this party. I came to the H because we supposed to be on the title chase.
What? Okay. What he said.
Oh, you couldn't hear, you couldn't understand Parkins?
No one else could either. We're all collectively looking at each other like, huh?
Yeah, he was saying that Russell Westbrook used to get pissed because James Harden would take the team's private plane down to Cabo.
It's more on the team than him. If someone's offering me their private plane to go party, I'm taking it.
He would ask for it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking it. If they're going to give it to me, that's on the team. I don't know. I just, once you pay someone and then treat them with decency, that's pretty much your agreement with them. There's no agreement that you have to go above and beyond and give them. I mean, the money and the time off that they're allowed is theirs to do whatever they want with. I mean, you don't have to enable it by giving them a private plane. I don't understand quite why, unless he was paying for it and the owner wanted to get some shekels for the use of it. But if he ain't paying for it, I don't know why, if I'm an owner, I have to do that. It's like, I paid you to play basketball. If you want to take your time off and do whatever you want with it, that's up to you. I can't tell you what to do.
That does
But I don't
seem
have
weird.
To give you the private plane for it.
Yeah, it's that weird, I don't know, that culture over there, I still don't understand what was going
on.
Well,
they also gave days off that they weren't normally going to give. I mean, they stayed in cities just for him.
Yeah, and then the other thing that I learned is that Daryl Morey, he's the guy who was the GM of Houston and now is with the 76ers. I'm hearing conflicting reports as to whether that Ben Simmons deal was actually a thing. Now, originally it was that they had offered Ben Simmons almost straight up for James Harden, but then I'm hearing that Houston did not want to do any business with Daryl Morey, who is now with the Sixers, and that there's some sort of bad blood between the two of them. So I don't know what to believe, but what is it with Houston teams and just nobody's got their crap together when it comes to anything going on in Houston right now.
And the Astros, the Texans, and now the Rockets. Not good.
No, it's a place of great shenanigans, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a bunch of crap that's going on over there. So that should be interesting to see what Harden gets in now that he, I mean,
hey, Kyrie's questionable. He could be back tonight. We might get the full Brooklyn Nets version this evening.
Trying to wrangle a bunch of old men to show up to of men, you know, adults to wrangle them up to able to get them to play basketball four times a week. Three, four times a week. It's that difficult. What a life. What a life.
Well, Kyrie's like Kung Fu. He's going to roam the earth for a while. He's going to find himself. He's going to help people at every stop.
It takes one. And all the players love him.
Like, as soon as every time Kyrie, anyone like raises any kind of question about him, there's a million players on Twitter that are like, well, did you see what he's done for this charity and that charity? I mean, everyone loves him. I mean, he's a player's rep.
Perk hates him. It seems like LeBron's not a big fan anymore.
But but these are older guys. I mean, I'm talking about current players. And who cares?
Well, I think if you were on that Cavs team, you have some resentment towards Kyrie.
If you put his gun to Kevin Durant's head, he wouldn't say things either.
I mean, fine. But I'm not wrong. The sentiment from the players, at least publicly, is that everyone loves them.
They did elect the vice president of the Players Association.
Yes, that's evidence of it. And also is look at their social media accounts. Everyone runs to defend them.
My theme of ex-Cavs, because I remember Kevin Love called him out. Remember when Kyrie called the media pawns? Kevin Love went off about that. I just think that anyone who and anyone who had anything to do with it around the time Kyrie was there, there's not a lot of happiness when it comes to that guy.
Again,
he must have been a real dick around all of them.
Again, that doesn't speak for the rest of the NBA who does like him. I don't know what he's done, and if I was a lunch pail guy merely making my $6 million a year and having to show up every day, I wouldn't love it. I wouldn't love that my schedule is being dictated by a player on my team. I mean, I would accept a lot. I mean, you have to realize that stars are stars in any industry, and that they're going to get a little bit more juice than you have. And I would understand that. But I mean, them dictating my schedule on a whim would be a little bit much for me. And them not showing up and then, you know, having no repercussions from it would also get to me as well. I mean, I'd understand that, you know, they'd get their choice of seat on the bus or on the plane, or, you know, they might rest a game when I had to play, or, you know, they don't have to practice when I have to practice. Those are all things I'd understand. But then there comes a point where it's like, all right, you're screwing up my life. Like,
I can't think, like, if you were at the beginning of the season would have said, just pick three players and give me a recipe for disaster, I would have chose the three biggest head cases in the league. I would have picked Kevin Durant, who's one of the most sensitive. I would have picked Kyrie Irving, who is, as we know, a maniac.
Nuts. He's nuts.
And I would have picked James Harden, who's an absolute diva, and I would have placed them in New York. So it's like, if this doesn't blow, you've got to give Steve Nash and the people around them like all the credit in the world. Because I don't know how this can't end up being so wildly dysfunctional that everything crumbles around them. If this does not blow up in their face, I mean, just give Steve Nash coach of the year. I mean,
Steve Nash is as much a coach of that team now as I am.
Sure,
I mean, they're literally not listening to him. Steve, when I talk about Steve Nash's and coaching that team, I'm not talking about they're ignoring him while he dials up plays. I'm talking about they're taking themselves out and putting themselves into games.
They even said that before the season even started. Any one of us can be coached.
Yeah, I know that. Now times that by a million.
Yeah.
And if Steve Nash, and there's a lot of people that are in the NBA that I've heard, a lot being more than a few, that have said that you might as well just write off him coaching this team, that he'll be fired at some point during the season.
There's no margin for error. I mean, what Nash has to do.
Well, no, they don't like him.
Has to do is just get along.
No.
It's kind of like Tyronn Lue. You just have to get along.
But at this point, if I'm the owner or if I'm in the front office and they say we don't like Nash, why the hell would I keep Steve Nash?
Yeah.
I'd fire him.
That's right.
Now, I wouldn't like it.
Any impact on the play on the floor if you fire him.
Right, and it will impact the play on the floor and them showing up if they don't like him. All I'm doing is I want, for the rest of this season, them to show up. That's it.
Steve Nash, you're praying to get fired. Because think about that. You're realizing what you have to deal with now.
Yeah, why the hell would he want
to get paid, like $7 million a year, however much he's taking for like 3 years? I don't know what the contract is, but if you're a head coach of the NBA, you're making a decent amount of money. So fire me now.
It's not even the money. He's just wanting to be around basketball, and he enjoys it, but this wouldn't be enjoyable at all. And it's funny because Steve Nash is, a two-time MVP?
Yep.
He was an MVP.
Played for the guy who's in his assistant coach and Mike D'Antoni. But
regardless, I'm talking about getting respect from players, and, they don't respect that. And so, I mean, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to bring in a Tyronn Lue or, you know, someone of that ilk that is a professional sit there. I mean, a guy that's going to sit there.
That's unfortunately, Ty's got a job doing that same thing for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard.
No, I know.
In LA,
yes, and because he's handpicked because they love it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they want.
The best is if this does not work. I mean, Brooklyn, as we said before the season started, very deep. They had a lot of good players on the bench, but now Brooklyn has traded away all of them. Guys like Allen and Dinwiddie's hurt for the season, and LeVert, we talked about how he's got medical issues, but they shipped him off to Indiana. If for some reason one of these three guys gets hurt or Kyrie decides he wants to go off on safari again and do whatever it is he does, I mean, that's it. That's the ball game. I mean, Brooklyn's supposed to go to the finals with it with these guys. And there's just one Kyrie pop-off or one James Harden, you know, hissy fit away from nothing. It's fascinating to watch. I'm looking forward to this.
It really is. It's very interesting. Just to have to wrangle guys that you're paying that amount of money.
Those massive egos. And, Rich, you're absolutely right. If you were going to put three, like, volatile personalities,
any three from the NBA,
and drop them in the biggest media market in America, that would be these three guys.
And you know what's going to happen? Their first week and a half to 2 weeks, they are going to look like one of the greatest
teams.
Oh,
you saw what Harden did in his Brooklyn debut. Oh, yeah. He couldn't have been better.
Harden's the greatest.
Oh, he was fantastic.
They're going to just destroy teams, and it's going to be
Harden's
going to
pass.
So, see?
We've seen him do it before.
Yeah.
When Harden was in OKC.
Because he respects the other guys that he's playing with.
When Harden was in OKC, he passed the ball, and he did. And I had to be reminded of this, but it is the case. He distributed the ball, and he'll do it at first.
But you wait. Yeah. You wait.
Oh,
Give it a Valentine's
month.
Day. Valentine's Day
About a month.
Is going to be the day.
Yeah.
That's when you're going to all of a sudden see someone's going to say something that's a little bit of a snipe towards the coaching staff or another one of the players. Durant's going to get sick of it, and all of a sudden, boom!
Durant doesn't have the balls to say anything.
Or they'll lose to Milwaukee or some team that they feel that they're better
than. It's going to be between Kyrie and Harden, and one of them is going to want the ball in their hands in a situation, and there's only one of them. But Harden, listen, Harden has the ability to distribute. Harden has the ability. I mean, you hit a triple-double last night, right? I mean, Harden has that ability. So he could do it if he wants. So, I mean, you got to get these guys to show up. And if Harden wants to, Harden could, with Durant, Harden could put up, he could put up a triple-double every night. I mean, you could certainly get a double-double every night.
I think that, you know, Barkley the other night, he made a good point. As much as we ripped on Kevin Durant for leaving Oklahoma City and going to Golden State, he left Golden State for this.
Yeah.
He left Golden State, one of the greatest basketball teams of our generation. He left that team for this mess that he has stepped in now.
Yep.
Yeah. Couldn't stand the heat from Draymond. Remember that? Couldn't stand the heat from Draymond.
Nope.
What if they brought Draymond into Boston?
I'd love it.
That'd be fantastic.
Sure. That would be amazing. Hell yeah. Bring Draymond here. I'd love that.
I'd buy half season tickets.
And then you could say, Danny Ainge, I told you so.
No.
Or as long as Draymond's here.
I'd say, please take my money. I'd pay to see Draymond 20 games a year.
Are you kidding me? Absolutely. Draymond Green? I mean, it'd be awesome to have him. They could use that guy.
I mean, played about 5,000 basketball games in his life, but nonetheless, taking a bit of a beating.
Yeah,
they weren't easy basketball games either. If you want to talk about taking a beating, oof. That guy, you play for Michigan State for 4 years. You're essentially in a fight every night. I mean, they're like fighting.
Mm-hmm.
He just goes, get me the biggest guys, put them in the weight room, Tom Izzo does, and just have them fight. And we'll see how they are as pros. But when they're in college, it's going to be bloody noses and ripped up knuckles and everything else.
I saw Cassius Winston about 10 days ago, game I did against the Washington Wizards. There he was. He was sitting right there on a bench.
Love Cassius.
Signing that two-way contract.
I never said he was going to be a great pro. I never said Cassius Winston was going to be a great
pro.
I never said Miles Bridges was. I never said Josh Jackson was.
You said, take a chance on Cassius Winston, four-year player, another Draymond, you said.
I didn't say he was another Draymond. I said, John, that is a mischaracterization like I've never heard in my entire life. I called one Michigan State player, and it was Draymond. And I said not to take Tillman. I said I wouldn't take Tillman. And I wouldn't take Henry out of this draft.
Mm-hmm.
I said take Draymond Green. And if you took Cassius Winston at the end of the first round, sure. I think Cassius Winston's perfectly capable of doing everything that Pritchard's doing. I think that if you got Cassius Winston in, he'd do the exact same thing.
Yeah, well, slow.
Oh, that's right. Down. That's ridiculous. Slow to me. They're down. Both Naismith finalists. Yeah, not it's crazy.
He's no Peyton
right.
Pritchard. He's
that's
a nice
right.
player.
That's
but
right.
He's not
they're not exactly the same.
Not the same at all.
No, no.
Pritchard's a lot quicker.
Yes, he's white. I understand, John.
What?
You're racist. John Wallach's a racist. I'm just kidding, obviously.
Good. You had to add that qualifier at the end. I appreciate
well,
it.
Because I know that how the media is on you.
That's right.
The minute that said my
camped outside my home.
And you can't read sarcasm. You can't read sarcasm. I understand. We've lost Rich's connection. He's not.
Oh, is that? Right. Okay.
I understand why you want Pritchard and not Winston.
Yep, that's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
God. Just can't get anything by you.
You're like a general manager, not hiring a Bieniemy as a right. coach. Sometimes it's obvious. Yeah. All right. We will be back. The stack will be coming up, or we'll connect with Rich again, and we'll have all kinds of fun. Here is David John Wallach, Duke, with the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. Sports Hub. Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots got blown out by the Knicks at TD Garden, 105-75.
The Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Snapping a 5-game winning.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
985, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, you're disconnected, but we found out about John's rampant racism before we went to break. And here's how he's update.
Headlines. Patriots got blown out by the Knicks at TD Garden, 105-75.
He was very. We had a
5-game winning streak.
We had an eagle that was very confused. Do you know the mistake you made?
Yes, I said Patriots.
Okay, I didn't even know if you caught yourself there.
Yeah.
We had an eagle that was his feathers were clipped.
He threw me off on game.
His feathers were clipped.
Yep.
Just like the other day when we played a million fart noises and bird noises during his headlines that he taped. And we were standing in the studio while the headlines were going on, and John was completely oblivious that this was all going on.
No, I heard it.
No, it took you. Well, first of all, your update was probably about 2.5 minutes long, and it took you about a minute and a half for you to hear it.
And then it may have been almost to the point where I had to point it out. Like, I was like, are you listening? Is anyone else listening to this? Are you hearing this? Because me and Fred knew about it.
Yeah, it took a while. Well, I knew about it before, but I didn't know that you guys had actually done it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, yeah, there's fart noises. And John,
the fact that Mike has been doing it for quite a while.
Yeah, that was the thing, is that John is apparently Mike has been taking John's recorded headlines. Because of COVID, we have a procedure in place, which is very, very necessary, that we leave 5 minutes early and we have to get out of here. And
crossover between.
That's
shows,
right, because yes. that would lead to certain, it would be all but certain that we would get coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And John is to tape, as is every update guy, is to tape their update. And for, I don't know for how long, I was even unaware of this, is Lockhart has just been putting the Antonio Brown farts into it. And none of us knew. And then finally I said, oh, well, if you're going to do it, let's go out with a bang and jam them all in there and see if John realizes it. And it took him a minute and a half before he went, something is going on. Something is wrong. So there you go. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Well, it will be a miracle if I don't drop out during this break because I heard about every third word you just said, Fred. So there we go.
All right.
We have the odds for the NFC and AFC championship games. As of right now, Green Bay favored by 4. And they have a I had the over-under here somewhere. But, yeah, the Green Bay right now is favored by 4. And in the AFC championship, this is going to be close. They said that Kansas City is only favored by 2.5.
Yeah, I jump on that line right now. Jump on it like your life depended on it, because I don't think there's any way Mahomes doesn't play.
Well, why is there a line if there's a doubt as to whether or not Mahomes will
play?
That's
the thing, is I would hold off on it too. But I mean, if Mahomes plays, they're going to kill him. So, I mean.
But what about the, even if he plays, he's still recovering from a concussion?
I don't know. What does he have to do? He just has to throw to Tyreek Hill.
It was a 9-point game when they played earlier this season, and Josh Allen played his worst game of the year.
Yeah, and so he's going to play even worse in this game. And I'm telling you, I would jump all over it. I'd want that 2.5. Hachi Machi, because that thing, as soon as they announce that Mahomes is playing, that line's going to go expand a roo.
Yeah, you see, I think the Chiefs win that game, I don't want to say easily, but they definitely win that game. 2.5 seems, and that's at Kansas City, too. So it's like, I mean, don't you normally get like a 3-point advantage anyway?
Yes,
just the home field?
They're hedging their bets. Vegas is hedging it. Now, the line will grow because people are going to start pounding that 2.5, but we'll see. But I got to believe Mahomes is playing. But it is kind of out of everyone's hands. I mean, if he doesn't recover, he doesn't recover.
Well, Dan, if you could get the Gronk clips ready, if you would not mind, from this morning. So, Rob
Did
Gronkowski.
You see, during the game, by the way, speaking of Gronkowski, when they were like, the attitude has changed here on the Tampa Bay bench. You know, you could tell that they were all fired up, and now, you know, there's some concern. And then you see Rob Gronkowski, and he was just standing there slack-jawed. And she's like, you know, but listen, she goes, and I almost recorded it. And she's like, I got to start doing that. And she's like, and here's Rob Gronkowski. And, you know, you can tell he's confused. There's confusion. He just said it because that was the only way. He just had this big, dumb look on his face. And she was trying to say how the, because it was the woman on the sidelines. And she was like, yeah, and there's confusion.
No, that's just his face, normally. But Rob Gronkowski did do a pregame interview, and there were two interesting things that came out of it. First of all, he was asked about whether he is indeed going to play next year. Here's what he had to say.
This team is built to win. So are you going to saddle back up and come in for another year and play with Tom Brady and this team?
Yeah, you gotta. I feel like this team was built like to win right now. It was put together this year to win right now. And it always pops up in your mind. You're thinking about the future a little bit. I can definitely see this team also having a lot of talent come back and have another successful run next year as well with me.
Yeah, so this team is built to win now and, you know, built to win in the next couple of years. What do you think? Will you come back? Yeah, it's interesting. This team is built to win now and built to win in the next couple of years.
Let me just repeat these words that you just threw at me because I can't really think too much right now.
Everything with him is a middle school book report on a book you didn't read.
That does sound
the
like it.
The catcher was in the ride, I have to tell you.
By the way, just the fact that he's like taking a year off because he was, remember he started crying about how football wasn't fun anymore?
Yeah.
And just think about it.
He
how much of an
Belichick.
FU is it to the Patriots? And not only is he coming back to play football, but he's doing it for 2 more years at least. Well, and he's like having the time of his life.
He's never not made the playoffs as an NFL player.
Yeah.
How insane is that? He's never not made the playoffs.
Well,
and then there's guys that are on the Jets that are just like, oh.
Well, he was asked about the difference between playing for Bill Belichick and for playing for Bruce Arians. Let's listen.
What's one big difference you see between the coaches?
They're both great coaches for sure. I love getting coached up. But one of the biggest things is I would just say, you know, the freedom of just being yourself with the coaches. You know what I mean, Willie?
Oh, I know what you mean, man. You know, come on. I've been there and I left. I've been other places.
That was Willie McGinnis he was speaking with, so obviously know what he's talking about there.
So they're doing the game, and they said, these coaches like to have fun, these two coaches, Sean Payton and Bruce Arians. And they're like to have fun. Oh, yeah, they like to have a lot of fun. Let's just leave it at that. They go, let's just leave it at that. Leave it at what? What are you talking about? Now I'm curious. Is it like all blow and hookers? I mean, what are you talking about? They're all laughing at themselves like, oh, they like to have fun. Oh, do they ever like to have fun? We'll just leave it at that. No, don't leave it at that. What are you talking about?
Oh, I think but in that case, you're right. I wish they would. You need to follow up on that. But I mean, to me, that's just.
No, not Gronkowski. I'm talking about the announcers last night before the game.
Oh, yeah.
We're saying how those two like to have fun. And I went. Finally, okay.
Yeah.
What do they like to do?
Probably joke around during press conferences.
Yeah, I mean, like what? Yeah. Like booze it up? Like what's the deal?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even on 60 Minutes, they were doing a profile of one of the guys that, who was the guy that died over there? And they were talking about, and then they were talking to one of the other 60 Minute guys about him. They're like, so you're saying he liked to drink a lot? And he's like, oh, yeah. Like that, he's like, oh, yeah, all the time. Like, even on 60 Minutes, they talk about it. Right, come on, let's go. What do they like to do? They like to booze it up? Let's have some fun. All right.
Hey, pandemic. Dan, get the Voracek clip ready to go if you don't mind. So there was a I don't know the history of what's going on here. And John, maybe you do, but is it Jakob or Jacob Voracek?
Jakob.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
From
of course, it's Jakob. It's everything wrong.
Yeah.
So he was being interviewed by the press on one of those Zoom things where he's sitting there, but it's these different calls coming in from a remote location. And as he's answering questions, he gets a question from Philadelphia Inquirer columnist Mike Sielski. And I don't know what the history is behind these two guys, but Voracek here went nuts. Here's what he had to say.
Mike Sielski, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, this question is for Jake. Two games in, Jake, how different does the season feel, if at all, given the circumstances of the offseason and the condensed schedule and everything?
Doesn't matter what I say, Mike. You're going to write every time. So it doesn't matter what you say. We got 4 points off the first two games. I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel. It's not even funny. Next question.
Nice.
That's kind of awesome.
Power of the pen, baby.
So I guess that there's been speculation as to why he would have gotten pissed off. And there's an article where I guess this is from this guy, Mike Sielski, who asked the question. And he said, back-to-back lopsided losses to the Islanders and Penguins had compelled the coach to send his stars a message, and one of them was on hand to hear it. Voracek sat there and laughed. So they're saying that he basically laughed at his coach, and that's, I guess, one of the things that may have pissed him off.
Mm, okay.
So, you know,
well, I like that. I mean,
in vinegar. You know what I don't like? I don't like the way the Bruins have been playing, despite their first win. They can't score, and I know that like sounds elementary. They have
a
problem
can't score.
Scoring
they can't score
even
five
strength.
On five.
They have what, three right wings out today? Something like that?
Well, I mean, like Cassidy said, he's used to it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is
So is Krejci going to skate on the top line to kind of fill things out?
I don't know. He's so silky.
Yeah,
he's the best. Krejci every year. He's
tune
the best.
In at 5
you don't
o'clock
get it.
To find out.
You don't get it. He's so good. He's worth every penny. Yeah, you know he doesn't put up the numbers, but it's just he's doing stuff you don't understand.
My hand's raised. I don't understand.
I've been watching him for a real long time, and I don't get it.
Yep, playoffs friend. In the playoffs.
Yep. That 1 year.
Yep.
And you know what? Because he was hurt. And they started to suck when he was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing with Krejci. He benefited from not playing against Philadelphia.
That year where they blew the 3-0 lead and he broke his wrist and they went in the tank.
Yep.
That's true.
Yep. That's why. All right. Enjoy the Bruins tonight. Bertrand's here. They got a 5 o'clock start. Zolak and Bertrand are in next. Bye.
The Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.